Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Lots to share with you today, so let's dive right in. I've written recently in my financial column about financial advisors, and I'm going to get on my little soapbox, and I think there's some things that you'll find very interesting that will come from my soapbox. So I've written a couple of things. One was some myths about financial services in general, and then just things to be aware of. So what I'd like to do first for you today is I'd like to talk about the myth of relying on financial advisors and whether that is something you can or can't or should or shouldn't do. So I've got three specific things I want to talk about. Number one, and I'll give you the myth and then I'll answer it. So the first one is advice from a celebrity financial expert must be true and can be relied on when making decisions about your personal financial situation. I did that best with my best poker face there to share that with you. Of course, that's false. You do not, cannot rely on a celebrity to give you advice. Your individual situation will determine what is appropriate for you. You know that, okay? Nobody can tell you from California, from a TV studio, what you should do. This is two things. One, it's very, very, very general commentary that they make. And two, it is entertainment. If it's on the radio, if it's in the newspaper, if it's television, and it's somebody giving you their quote unquote celebrity expert opinion, then you have to look at that within a context. So as smooth as they are, the TV actors and celebrities, they're not giving you individual advice. And I'll pick on a couple, if you don't mind. I don't mind. I recently caught Dave Ramsey, who is well-regarded. I have a lot of respect for what Dave Ramsey does. But he was talking on a morning show, and I heard him make some comments about paying off debt. And I will tell you, the way he described it, I don't agree. And I'm out here in the field doing it every day, and I can tell you that what he mentioned and made, and it was a passing comment, but I'm like, nope, don't agree, Dave. This David doesn't agree with that Dave. So there are going to be things that you hear and see that you may or may not be able to rely on. And even though somebody may very smoothly tell you you need gold in your portfolio, maybe you don't. And maybe somebody's very good at describing reverse mortgages and making it seem so easy and simple and like we're sitting down and having a cup of coffee and just relax and talk. I mean, just the piece that comes across that TV set, it's very powerful, but it may or may not be appropriate for you. And so it just depends on your situation. So, you know, I've heard some of these folks say some pretty dumb stuff, and you have to keep all of that in mind, that you have to get help from somebody that knows your situation intimately and clearly and can guide you, which brings me to the next myth. A financial advisor is necessary to reach your financial goals. False. If you have the time, you have the talent, and you have the interest in doing your own financial management, you do not need an advisor. Remarkable to hear that from an advisor. But my point is that if you have all three, now they're all three critical, talent, time, and the interest, then you can learn, do it yourself. There are plenty of financial resources on the internet. There are plenty of books to read. There are financial courses. You know, you can get an online degree in financial planning if you want. So there are a lot of things you can do for yourself. Now, let me kind of contrast that a little bit and explain why it's so important. Let's say, however, though, that you just don't have the time. You may have the interest and you may have the talent, but you don't have the time. Well, then you're going to be doing it halfway. Let's say that you have the time and the interest, but you ain't got the talent. Well, and you may not be aware of this. So this is something you have to kind of check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? You need to make sure that you don't mess this up. Now, the other thing is, what if you simply don't have the interest? Maybe you're fascinated by it. Maybe you do have the time. You just don't feel comfortable. Well, there are many ways to get advice. You also don't have to turn your finances over completely to someone. You can get what we call in our industry financial planner assisted advice or planning, or financial advisor assisted planning, where you pay by the hour. Look, if somebody wants to come in and get my advice, I'll be happy to charge them by the hour for my advice. If you say, look, I want to manage the money myself, but I want to know that I'm on the right track and I like to watch it. I like to do it. I have the time, but I'm just not sure I've got the talent, or I'm not sure I have the right tools. I guess I could add a fourth one, tools. I don't know that I have the right tools to do what you can do as a professional. So review what I'm doing. I'll charge you by the hour to do it. I mean, so there are ways to get where you need to go without hiring an advisor. Now, let me flip that over. And you may say, okay, David, you're talking out both sides of your mouth, but I'm really not. The next myth is that any financial advisor worth their salt can tell you what to do, and that if they can't, then you're better off just learning and do it yourself. In other words, if they can't give you perfect advice, you should just do it yourself. Well, financial advisors can really help frame up and give you a roadmap on how to get from where you are to where you want to be. Sometimes it's hard to see, you know, the old expression, it's hard to see the forest for the trees. And when it's your trees, sometimes certain trees, you're like, nope, that one's getting a ribbon around it. We're not cutting that one down. So it's helpful to get some perspective. Now, I will tell you that sometimes financial people are not a good investment. Some of them can do more harm than good. But the key thing to remember with advisors is that they can offer value. Now, one thing that sometimes people get tripped up with is they say to themselves, well, look, I'm a smart guy or gal. I can learn this. I can do this. I don't need somebody else to tell me how to manage my money. Or there are a little bit in our American society, there is a great deal of what we call this bootstrap self-determination, do it for yourself, you know, and also there are legitimate concerns about trusting somebody else with your money. Take all of that and you say, you know, I'll do it myself. But some people feel like that's what they need to do. And you know what? Again, as I talked about earlier, if you can do it, do it. But here's the point I really want to make to kind of put a bow around this. There's nothing wrong with getting help. There's nothing wrong with seeking advice from somebody that knows more about a subject area than you do. And think about the other areas of your life. You know, I don't change my own oil in my car. I used to when I had time and I had an interest in doing it, but today I can't. I don't have the time, and somebody else can do it much quicker and much better. Think of all the other things that might be appropriate, you know, that somebody else can do better. Do you like to eat steak? Are you going to raise your own cow? I mean, think about it. You know, we are a very specialized society. But here's really a key point. It doesn't make you a coward. It doesn't make you weak. It doesn't mean you're unintelligent to hire somebody to help you or to at least get a second opinion from somebody who has expertise and experience. Now, both of those are very important. They need to know what they're doing, and you need to find out if they know what they're doing by looking at their background, asking them about their credentials, and they need to have some experience because they need to know what happens under different scenarios, and a lot of things are not taught in a textbook or credential course that comes from experience. If you follow these basic concepts, I think you can plan well. In fact, you can plan stronger.
What if in the time it takes you to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? Well, if you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. It's as simple as that. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? And there's no cost or obligation to meet with David. All you need to do is simply call 671-PLAN, that's 671-PLAN, or visit planstronger.com for more information.
Welcome back. I am going to give you the keys to getting great financial advice. Here they are. There's three essential things that you've got to look for in a financial advisor to help you. You ready? Nobody talks about this, so I'm going to talk about it. There are three key things. Number one, you've got to like them. Number two, you've got to trust them. And number three, they need to know what they're talking about. Okay. So those are the three big ones. Really? Okay. That easy? Yes, it's that easy. But you have to pay attention to those three things. If you take those three things together, like them, trust them, and believe them, believe they know what they're talking about, and you verify that, then I think you've got a good combination for a very healthy relationship with a financial advisor. And as I've talked about, you don't have to have a financial advisor to be successful with your finances. But if you choose to, then those are the three things that you need to be mindful of. So I've got some fictitious examples from a recent column I did that I'll share with you. The first is to talk about likability. Okay, so let's say that you're looking for an advisor and you ask around. Very often people ask family and friends first. You know, the best way probably would be to go to some websites, do a search, but naturally human nature, you know, I was just thinking of this myself about maybe getting some extra help with some yard work that I need done. I've got a couple of plants I want to take out and some of it's just a little too big for what I want to do myself. So I've got a shovel and I've got the gloves and I've got the work boots. I can get out there and do it. But once it gets beyond a certain size, I don't want to do it. That's just too much. So what did I do? I asked around. I asked neighbors and friends, hey, do you know somebody that can do this or that? So it's the same with your finances. The natural inclination is to start asking around. So let's say in my hypothetical example that you've asked around and a friend of yours says, oh yeah, I've got a great advisor, really, really good, really smart, very attentive, great firm, good staff, great location, does a good job, all those things that you would want to hear. And you make an appointment, you go to the office, impressive credentials on the wall. Everything seems great. They serve you a nice cup of coffee, give you a piece of chocolate. I mean, it just all feels good. You get in, you sit down with the advisor, got credentials, but you don't like them. You just don't like them. I will tell you that relationship is probably not going to work. There are things that we're still understanding about how our minds work. This will probably always be a continuing journey, much more than a five-year mission. It'll be a continuing mission to figure out how our minds work. We'll always be learning about how the human mind works. But one of the things about how we work, how our bodies work, and how our minds work is there's things that we pick up on that aren't always on a conscious level. Or maybe they are, but we don't have an exact reason for why we pick up on something. So if you don't like the person, probably not going to work. I met somebody the other day in a business setting, and I was like, this person just kind of is rubbing me the wrong way. And there was nothing said that was like, hey, David, you've got big teeth or nothing like that. It was just, I just picked up on something. I'm like, okay, that's something I'm going to need to be mindful in this relationship. So that's number one. They could have everything else going great. And maybe your friend is very happy, but hey, look, we're all different. And if you're not going to like them, it's not going to work. So there you go. That's likability. Number two is trust. Now, trust is earned. Trust is something that comes from a combination of things. But let's say, let me give you another example, hypothetical. You attend a financial seminar and the speaker sounds really smart, very likable, seems to be easy to relate to. All good. After the seminar, there is pressure to make an appointment to visit with you. They won't take no for an answer. You agree reluctantly, and the advisor is going to come to your house. Okay. Now, before the advisor comes, because you're doing your due diligence and you're smart, you're going to check them out. So you've gone to the internet, you've done a search, and what you find is nothing. There's nothing there. There's no office. The person's working out of their house, maybe. There is no information, no website. There is nothing about credentials. Very skeletal information. Red flags or warning lights, or at least a yellow light, please, goes off in your mind. And your trust level's pretty low. That's probably not going to be a relationship that works for you. Trust is just critical. All right. Number three. They got to know what they're doing. You have to be confident that they know what they're doing. You've got to believe that they know what they're doing. Now, sometimes people get by people. In other words, they pretend, they fake it. Fake it till you make it. You know, I saw a quote the other day on social media that, to be perfectly candid, drives me bonkers. It basically goes like this. It says, if somebody presents an opportunity to you and you don't know how to do it, tell them you'll do it and figure it out later. And I think that's baloney. I think that we need to be honest about our abilities. I would give a different quote. If somebody presents you with a great opportunity, tell them, I'll do everything I can to do that for you. I will learn. I don't know how to do it today, but I'll get others to help me, and I won't let you down. So we have to feel confident. Little soapbox there. Sorry. You have to feel confident that the person knows what they're doing. So here's another hypothetical example. A friend of yours, his son, you've known him since 5. He's now 25 or 30, whatever, and is a financial advisor. You've known the family for years. Very likable. Very trustworthy. You just feel very comfortable. Makes an appointment. You go see the advisor. The presentation is underwhelming. You don't have confidence in what he knows, what the advisor knows. They've got the licensing. They can do the work, but they just don't have the knowledge. You ask questions. You don't get answers that make you comfortable. I'll have to check on that. I'll have to check on this. I'm not sure. Let me look into that. Let me consult the man behind the curtain. So there's just not confidence. And the presentation, as I said, just not there. And maybe no credentials, maybe not enough pursuit of education yet. So you like them, you trust them, but the knowledge is not there. Here again, this is a relationship that's probably not going to work. You need all three. And I will tell you that I do not expect, okay, and I may seem preachy, but I don't expect to work with every person that comes in and meet with me. We may not connect, or maybe they're looking for something different than what I do. I don't buy stocks every day and trade them, or call my clients and say, I got to get you out of this today and into that. I've got a hot stock pick for you. That's not what we do. So if somebody's looking for that, that's not what we do. So maybe somebody else is better suited. I'm not a very good yes man, so I'm not going to tell people what they want to hear. I'm not going to slap them on the back and go play golf with them every Friday. That's not what I do. So, there are going to be advisors that fit different people better. And that's just the nature of working with people. It's the same with all kinds of other services you might get, be it your mechanic, your contractor, your hairdresser, person that you go to them for massage therapy, chiropractor, you name it. You have to have all three of these things I've talked about, likability, trust, and knowledge, for any professional relationship where somebody is giving you a service. Heck, buying your groceries or going to the butcher. I go to a butcher once a month, and I like to get steak and grill it myself. If I didn't like the butcher, something about him I didn't like, and the steak's good, and I think he knows what he's doing, that could affect my ability to work with him. So these are all things that you have to think about when you look at a professional relationship. And if you do that, you'll plan stronger.
Do you know how to get the most from your Social Security? Don't let a simple mistake prevent you from receiving all the benefits you've earned. Certified financial planner David Holland recently showed a retiring couple how they could enjoy an extra $84,000 in Social Security benefits over their expected lifetime. Wow! Call Holland Financial today for your one-on-one appointment to get your free Social Security analysis. No cost or obligation. David can give you a free analysis and show you the optimal age to start drawing Social Security so you can maximize your benefits. No cost or obligation. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
Welcome back. All right, more about the utility of financial advisors, and please don't get worn out. This is an important subject. I've got some more things to talk about that I think will help you as it relates to advisors and some of the misconceptions about financial advisors. It's interesting. There is such a mix of information available about financial advisors in our world or in the American culture. And I'm doing my part. I've taken up my cross here, and I'm trying to help people understand, because I think everybody will be served well by that. So a couple more myths for you about financial advisors. Financial advisors are all the same. Pick one you like. Who has the lowest fee? I've talked about the importance of liking them. Well, just so pick the one with the lowest fee and rock and roll. Well, the one with the lowest fee might cost you the most in the long run. If they don't know what they're doing and you rely on that advice, that may be a very costly savings. You know, it's a little bit like getting that coupon in the mail or walking in the store and saying, oh my gosh, that 50-gallon barrel of mayonnaise is buy one, get one free. Yeah? Okay. So do you, first of all, do you even eat mayonnaise? Do you like mayonnaise that much? Do you need a barrel of it? So, you know, deals aren't always a deal, I guess is my point. You know, advisors vary just like doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists. You can tell I've had some experience with them. Professional services vary. Dry cleaners vary. Restaurants vary. You know, even fast food restaurants vary. You might say, well, David, it's all fast and it's not so good. Well, I would beg to differ. But when you look at cheap, cheap isn't better. Better's better. There's an old quote that I love and I have memorized. There's no teleprompters behind the mic or the camera when I share this with you. There's nothing in the world that can't be made a little worse and sold a little cheaper. And those that consider price only are that man's lawful prey. John Ruskin, 18th century social critic. Live by that. You can get cheap. You ever been to the flea market and you find something? It's like, oh, this is cool. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it's only 6 cents. I'm buying four of them. You put it in the seat next to you on the way home. It falls apart just from the vibration of the car. I mean, you know, cheap is not better. Same with mutual funds. Cheaper is not necessarily better. There are cheap funds that will hurt you. So just as you think about that with the other areas. Oh, what my favorite is haircuts, okay? For a while, my schedule didn't permit me to really make an appointment for a haircut. And I'm due for another one. But my schedule didn't let me do that. So I would go to one of those places where you could just drop in. And it was okay. And it wasn't expensive. It was relatively cheap. But my wife has told me they're not always good. Okay, so cheap isn't necessarily better. Better's better. And I need a good haircut. And I don't mind paying a little more for that. I think having somebody that can cut it, knows my haircut, that I can get a better haircut than just next in line. All right. Number two, paying an advisor, and this is a hot topic, paying an advisor a fee instead of a commission assures impartiality. False. That's not true. And I'll give you some scenarios. There's a big debate raging right now in the financial industry. It has raged for decades. That how an advisor is paid, one way might be better than another. Well, I disagree. I think that as long as you know how the advisor is paid and it makes sense to you for what the advisor is doing and they disclose it to you in writing, all's good. One way or another isn't necessarily better. You know, the current debate is that, well, you know, that you have to pay a fee and not have a commission because then that means that the advisor is not partial or is not impartial, that they're biased if they receive a commission for doing whatever it is. So let me give you a couple scenarios to debunk that for you, because I don't want that to get in the way of anybody getting good advice. And I also don't like this broad brushstroke. And to be quite frank, there is some real self-righteousness in this debate. So let's say you take the quote-unquote high road. You hire an advisor to manage your money for a fee. Now, I'm going to pick on it even though I do it this way. So bear with me on this. You hire an advisor to manage your account for fee. And let's say that you've hired that advisor to manage your $100,000 investment portfolio and they're going to charge you 1.5% per year. That's $1,500 a year. What is that per quarter? Divide by four, $375 a quarter or $125 a month to eyeball and manage and make changes to your portfolio and not receive a commission. That's fee-based investment advice. So you've hired them. They're doing a good job. All's good. Something comes up, though, where you need that money back. You've got another investment opportunity or you are thinking of paying off your mortgage or X, Y, Z, whatever. You've got something else you want to do. You say to the advisor, who is supposed to be objective because they are a fee-based advisor, You know, I'm thinking of closing this account. I need the money to do X. Are they impartial? Are they going to say, oh, absolutely? Or is the fact that you're going to be taking away that $125 a month that helps them pay their bills going to cloud their answer to you? Now, of course, in a perfect world, and if they have integrity and a high moral compass, they will say, well, let's look at what's best for you. And I would hope that I would always do that for my clients. But the point is, one way or the other does not necessarily guarantee you impartiality. The key thing, what is it? How does it work? Disclosed in writing. And if you don't get the sense that your advisor or an advisor that you're interviewing will be forthright about that and they seem to hesitate at all, out of there, you're done. Because it is such a basic and easy thing to do. It's not a mystery. Okay, I've gotten on my soapbox again. All right, and number three, any advisor worth their salt should be able to tell you when to get in and when to get out of the market. They know when to stop the bleeding. They know when to move you to cash. They know when to go back in when the market's bottom out. All the suckers have been run out of the market. Now it's time for the smart money to go in. Can I say that with any more sarcasm? That's extraordinarily difficult to do. And I don't think that is the job of an advisor. Timing the market, really, really, really hard. I don't know anybody can do it. Now, again, talking heads on TV might make it sound like they know what to do. They bust a watermelon with a sledgehammer and then tell you, this is what the market's going to do. Really? So, I know I'm getting a little excited. Bear with me here. The point is that staying invested with good quality stuff, picking things that make sense for you, that make sense for your situation, getting objective advice, all these things can help you. Trying to jump in and jump out or expecting an advisor to do that is just asking for trouble. It's difficult to do and you should not expect it. These are things to think about with financial advisors, and I'll continue to talk about it because I think it can help you get good advice and help you plan stronger.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.